The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself? Thanks, Howard.
Oh, I'm not loving the line at all. Rolene, can you jiggle something about there a little bit, please?
I'm jiggling.
I mean, it's the distillery hour. No, it actually doesn't sound better. All right.
Have another sip.
Yeah, then everything sounds great. I'm going to ask Hilton to get you back on the air, to get you back on Skype, because I'm not loving this. We always have a lot of important things to talk about. So if you don't mind, Hilton's going to call you right back. We're going to chat to Rolene Marks in just a moment. We're going to talk about the United Nations. We want to talk about journalism and what is going on with the Foreign Press Association. That's an important thing to do as well. Rolene, are you back with us?
I'm back with you. I never went too far away.
Excellent. And now we can hear you beautifully. UN Secretary General, say the name. Your French is better than mine.
In fact, he's not even French.
But he sounds
Portuguese.
It.
Antonio Guterres.
Oh, Guterres. I could even say that in my northern suburbs accent, Guterres. Now, he's making his first trip to Israel at the end of the month.
Yes, should be a very, very interesting one. It's the first since he has taken over from the previous Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Mm-hmm. He is coming at the end of August, and he will also be visiting Ramallah. And Ban Ki visited Israel a total of 12 times, mm-hmm. and made 40 official trips overseas. But Guterres is here from the 27th to the 29th of August. He is expected to visit Israel and the Palestinian Authority. He has expressed an interest in going to the Gaza Strip, but that has not been finalized. Ban Ki-moon visited Gaza 4 times when he was in. In fact, he even toured the tunnels and said that the smuggling of weapons and firing of projectiles and rockets at Israel was untenable. But Guterres is coming. He will meet Prime Minister Netanyahu, the President Reuven Rivlin, Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman, and he will meet with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas.
So Ban Ki-moon had a bit of we didn't have a very clear idea of where he stood. He was sometimes very, very critical of Israel. But at the end of his term, he acknowledged that the United Nations has held an intrinsic or inherent bias towards Israel, or against Israel, rather. Where does Guterres stand in terms of his outlook? Is he balanced?
To me, he seems a lot more balanced, but I think he's also going to have quite a tense discussion with Israeli leaders, because he's coming at a time when we are withholding $9 million of our annual $47 million contribution to the UN in protest to some of the horrendous resolutions by UNESCO and the United Nations Human Rights Committee.
He's coming to collect money.
It could be he's coming to fundraise.
He's fundraising. But, I get it. Okay. Then I'm clear.
But this annual contribution that comes from Israel goes towards both operational fees. It's in a budget of $11 million. And then $36 million is earmarked for UN peacekeeping forces. And that is just from us. And, you know, we do have the UN peacekeeping forces in the form of UNIFIL. That's United Nations Interim Forces in Lebanon on our northern border. So I think that meetings will be tense, because I think that he's coming at a time not only when we're withholding money, but we are fed up, and I think the big issues that will be discussed is this absolute, untenable, horrendous anti-Israel bias at the United Nations. However,
sorry, Rolene, just to interrupt you, just to be clear, UNESCO falls under him as well, is that correct?
Yes, both UNESCO and the UN Human Rights Commission. Ah. But according to some in the know, he is a lot more receptive than previous Secretary Generals to our complaints against bias reports. And our representative to the United Nations, Danny Danon, will accompany him. And He has said that, and this is Secretary General Guterres, has said that Israel is an equal member of the United Nations and he will not allow anti-Semitism to impact on the organization's workings. So I think he's going to get an earful from us on why we think that the United Nations is becoming inherently anti-Semitic. And in my opinion, it is institutionalized anti-Semitism. However, Ambassador Danon has said we do need to take into account that there is a great deal of pressure on him, and that we're not expecting him to be like pro-Israel, but just to remain or maintain balance and objective.
Absolutely. Lawrence saying Ban Ki-moon only owned up or took responsibility in a very weak way at the end of his term. He didn't have the guts to change the bias, only mumbled it at the end of his term. I think that's actually a very good summary of it.
Exactly, exactly. And we have heard from Guterres after the UNESCO vote in January and in October, and he said that it is completely clear that the temple that the Romans destroyed in Jerusalem was a Jewish temple. And he's also made statements like with regards to the Six-Day War and its 50th anniversary that we commemorated not too long ago. He said that this occupation has imposed a heavy humanitarian and development burden on the Palestinian people, and among them are generation after generation of Palestinians who have been compelled to grow up and live in more crowded refugee camps. So I think he will hear from our side that we feel that it is incumbent on the Palestinians to also accept accountability and responsibility, and we want to hear that kind of language coming from the UN Secretary General as well.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Saeb Erekat. Now, this is a very, very interesting conversation and interesting turn of events. Can you just tell us, any of our listeners who might not have heard of him, who is Saeb Erekat?
Well, Saeb Erekat is the Palestinian chief negotiator and has been for several decades. You know, I think much like Abbas, who is serving the 12th year of his four-year presidency, yes, we seem to have very long staying power
of office, yeah,
or very long tenureship when it comes to our leaders in the Palestinian Authority. I was actually going to say the Hebrew word is, which is akadensia, and it's like befuddles me that the word will come into my head now, but not when I need it in Hebrew. And the English is failing me. But yes, Saeb Erekat is the Palestinian Authority's chief negotiator, and it is just such a profound irony that he is on the transplant list for a new lung in Israel, because this is a man who has dedicated decades to excoriating Israel, calling us genocidal, committing crimes against humanity, war crimes, and other such inflammatory and salacious kind of comments. However, he's on the transplant list, and Israeli doctors have told him that should he not get a lung transplant, the condition that he has, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, will become terminal. So any life-saving medical care that Saeb Erekat will be receiving will be coming from Israel.
That's absolutely amazing. I suppose, yeah, I mean, isn't that the philosophy and approach of the whole of BDS? You boycott Israel unless you actually need the product.
Exactly. I mean, I think I find maybe like a dark humor in watching them use ways to get to their protests.
I guess. You know what, if we can still find that funny, then I think we're one step ahead of the game. Foreign Press Association petitions government over ill treatment of journalists.
Well, the Foreign Press Association has filed a petition with the government and actually the High Court of Justice, saying that police and security forces use violent tactics against journalists trying to cover unrest and its aftermath in Jerusalem's Old City. And I think that this pertains to the recent unrest and riots that we've seen with regards to the Temple Mount. However, I think and what we've seen is that sometimes some of these journalists are extremely provocative. They will provoke our police in an already very, very tense situation. However, this doesn't mean that police and security forces have free rein to treat journalists however they want to. So the Foreign Press Association is seeking an end to these kind of tactics and wants police to guarantee that journalists will not be hindered in any way from doing their work, that they will be able to cover the news freely, safely and securely. Some of their complaints include that they are not allowed to be close to certain areas in order to take pictures. They say that camera crews and photojournalists have had their equipment smashed. And they've been repeatedly barred from entering the Old City or from approaching the Temple Mount and Al-Aqsa. They say that tourists have access, but they don't have access. But I think, you know, it could also be part of a greater problem we have here. And maybe the security forces feel that coverage is not balanced. And perhaps there is some of their frustration that they are taking out on journalists. And this is not okay.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Gimpel, the full thanks. Saeb Erekat obviously breathed in all the toxic bile he spouted about Israel. That's from Gimpel. Gimpel, the full, I've noticed.
Always
this.
Legendary.
Except
Gimpel.
That, you know, what I found is he's gone to Israel and he's come back a bit radicalized, hasn't he? Not that we mind, Gimpel, but very, very interesting indeed. Tell me about, finally, Cape Verde. I think that's how we pronounce it. They are not voting against Israel at the United Nations.
Well, here you can use your fabulous French accent.
Yes.
Cape
Nothing
Verde, which is a tiny island off the coast of Africa, has said that when it comes to voting at the United Nations, they will not be voting against Israel. And why this is significant is that this seems to be yet another African country that is warming ties to the Jewish state. So according to the statement put out by the Prime Minister's office, Cape Verde's President Jorge Carlos Fonseca, okay, so I thought it was French, turns out it's not, said that he will no longer vote against Israel at the UN, and he says that it is a result of Israel's intensive diplomatic activities in Africa. And he said that he had the privilege of meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu on the sidelines of the Economic Community of West African States conference in Liberia. And Cape Verde's tiny. I mean, it's a country with just over 500,000 people. I mean, that's just like a small city in Israel.
Yeah,
and Israel's tiny. And it is said that though they have generally voted against Israel at the UN and sometimes abstained or not turned up for votes, this time it will not be voting against Israel. So I think that it is
a bit of
hugely
positive
significant
news, absolutely.
And it seems that more and more African countries are reaching out to the state of Israel, becoming supportive of the state of Israel. I mean, the other day we heard that both Morocco and Abbas appealed to Togo not to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the President of Togo said, please don't tell me how to conduct my affairs, and I will meet with whoever I want to be meeting with. And I think this is wonderful, and hopefully this spreads throughout the continent. I'm not going to mention any countries by name, South Africa.
No, we wouldn't want to
mention
South
Africa. You should pay attention, South Africa.
Look, I think
to the warming of relations, South Africa.
Actually, I think South Africa should just pay attention to its own domestic policy first before they let's clean up that act. Let's get rid of some of that rot before we start pointing fingers at any other nations. Finally, Rolene, the Jerusalem Gay Pride is happening as we speak.
Gay Pride happening as we speak in Jerusalem, in the Holy City. The theme this year is LGBTQ and religion. And so far, so good. Everything's been quiet. You know, this is an incredible.
No, I don't believe that. There's nothing quiet about a Pride parade, really.
I hear from some of our listeners. We have heard from Jerusalem's chief rabbi who condemns the Pride Parade and says that there's no room for such events in Jerusalem, but the majority of us all disagree, and the country is very, very much standing behind our LGBTQ community. Jerusalem Open House for Pride and Tolerance told the Jerusalem Post that you know, these kind of statements are quite significant because of the theme of this year's Pride Parade. But the parade will also include a memorial concert for singer and activist Amir Fraser Goodman, who was supposed to host the event but died 2 weeks ago after saving his niece from drowning at an athlete beach. And my personal opinion, love is love is love. And I mean, I'm bracing myself for the SMSs and the
Me too, Lorraine. You get the privilege of putting the phone down. I've got to deal with the SMSs that come in because from this. Gimple the Fool saying, I'm still the same fool, not radicalized. I'm still against those who are against the gay marches in Jerusalem. Gimple, I couldn't agree with you more. Lester saying, perhaps we can give Erekat a heart that's a little more open to negotiating and making peace.
I feel a song coming on. Do you remember If You Only Had a Heart from The Wizard of Oz? I think that whole song appeals to the Palestinian leadership. If you only had a heart, if you only had a brain.
And someone's saying, I sound like quite the expert about pride parades. Actually, hardly. That said, I think I certainly would love to attend one. It sounds like a hell of a lot of fun.
And they are a lot of fun.
Our listeners will say emphasis on the word hell, but all right.
I marched a couple of years ago. I was actually visiting from South Africa, and Gay Pride was happening in Jerusalem under extreme security, and walked out of my hotel only to find that there was this tremendous party happening in the streets of Jerusalem, and who was I to refuse a good party and join
it? It would be rude, Rolene. It would be rude.
It would be rude. Just like to refuse a good scotch.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that. It's almost 5:29. Rolene, this is where we love and leave you. You have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. Peaceful and restorative. And we'll speak to you on Monday. Same time, same place. Don't be late.
Absolutely. Right on time.
Ooh, Adam saying a pride parade is one thing. A sexual promiscuity parade is quite another. Thank you, Adam.
Aye, 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 aye. Aye.